We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Tuesday. Happy Playoff Baseball Tuesday. Let's go. Feels like playoff baseball weather out there, doesn't it? Truly exciting. Good energy. Love to see people about, people talking baseball. I saw the Hop this morning, shining. Go Brewers. I saw buses this morning. Go Brewers. The energy. I love it. Baseball's really all about teamwork, right? And manufacturing runs. So today, we're putting the spotlight on manufacturing in greater Milwaukee with the show. Milwaukee PBS this week is collaborating with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and Rick Barrett to team up to host the Future of Manufacturing Town Hall event. The Journal Sentinel reporter Rick Barrett will join us later in the show, and MMAC President Dale Coyunga will join us. He'll step up to the plate to talk manufacturing, give us his insights on job creation, and I think we'll probably find some time to talk Brewers baseball as well. But first, as we do each and every morning, let's go to Up.
Now it's time for the
2 Up
on the Upswing.
Two Up, two things I'm seeing in the business world that you need to know about. Resale is back big time. What's your favorite resale shop? Where do you donate your clothes? Where do you go to find those bargains? The New York Times from yesterday. While thrift stores have always been around, the vintage and resale business has boomed lately and even shifted a little bit into big retail corporate giants like Banana Republic, Madwell, and H&M. A veteran resellers like REI and Goodwill and property developers are also getting into the resale game. Today, there are more than 25,000 resale stores in the United States, and secondhand apparel sales have increased by 11% in 2023 from the year before. These are stats compiled by Capital One. In 2023, apparel resale in the United States grew 7 times the rate of the broader retail industry. And the used clothing market is going to reach $43 billion, up from $23 billion in 2008. A reminder to clean out those closets, find a secondhand store to donate to. And then if you're shopping to save money, there's a ton of resale stores all over the state of Wisconsin that are good for your business, my business, and good for your clothes, too. All right, you need some cash for your home? How old is your home? Ours was built in 1925. Our condo that we just sold in downtown Milwaukee was 1898. But if you have an older home and you need repairs, there may be some low-interest loans for you to tap into. There's a new WEDA, Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority program for Wisconsin residents whose homes are more than 40 years old. You can qualify for low interest loans to make those repairs and improvements that you need to keep your house happy and satisfied under a new state program. The More Like Home Repair and Renew Loan program provides low interest loans between $5,000 and $50,000 for structural repairs and energy efficient updates like roofing, insulation, plumbing, electrical, heating, and air conditioning. Take advantage of it. You have to be in a certain income range, and the loans are available through the authority's participating lenders. It's a $50 million loan program and part of a $525 million affordable and workforce housing package approved last year by the legislature and Governor Tony Evers. Next up, the future of manufacturing. It's here, right here in the state of Wisconsin, and you are listening to The Upswing on WTMJ. We are presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We invite you to participate in the WTMJ Fall 2024 Fan Survey. It takes less than 10 minutes to complete. We want your feedback. We need your feedback. Take some time to participate. All you got to do is text the word survey to WTMJ's talk and text line. That's 855-616-1620. That's 855-616-1620. A link will be sent to you. Super easy. As a thank you for your participation, you're going to get entered to win two regular season tickets to the 2024-25 Milwaukee Bucks season and possibly an overnight stay at the beautiful Pfister Hotel right here in downtown Milwaukee. All right, this week, Milwaukee PBS is collaborating with Rick Barrett and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to team up to host the Future of Manufacturing Town Hall event and a job fair. It's Thursday at MATC from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. at the Milwaukee Area Technical College's Cooley Auditorium. The job fair begins at 3 p.m. and features local businesses that will be on hand to talk about job openings, provide resources, and showcase their manufacturing work. The town hall event, it's a bit of a complement or maybe a sidebar to Rick's five-part series in the Journal Sentinel that examined how manufacturing is returning to the United States. The event is free and open to the public. We'll feature five panelists who will talk about training and attracting the future workforce as manufacturing trends towards high tech and automation. Rick Barrett joins us via phone from, you're in Appleton today, right, Rick?
Yes, hi, good morning, Jeff. I'm in Appleton.
All right, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it. So Wisconsin ranks fifth among states in the number of foundries. Wapaka Foundry in North America's largest supplier of iron castings for products such as engines and bank rotors and factory machines. It melts 9,500 tons of metal a day and has benefited from reshored work across various industries. You highlighted this company and many others in your series, Rick, but tell us just in general, when you put an umbrella around the series you've worked on, how do you explore the concept of reshoring and bringing manufacturing back to the United States as it relates to Wisconsin?
Yeah, Jeff, I think what my colleague Mark Hoffman and I saw was we saw companies moving production back to the U.S. You know, a lot of the work had been shipped overseas years earlier, and there were companies that were, you know, winning the work back. I would describe it as more like a trickle than a flood. I mean, the reality is that reshoring is going to take many years, even if it pans out as a long-term trend. However, you know, we did see, you know, quite a bit of evidence of it happening, whether it was because of supply chain problems, trade wars, infrastructure spending. There were all kinds of things that were, I think, that were causing it to happen.
So what are some of the main challenges and opportunities for manufacturing in greater Milwaukee and Wisconsin that you highlighted in the series?
Yeah, it's a good question, Jeff. I mean, many of the challenges companies face now were the same ones, you know, from years ago when they sent work overseas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cost of labor, it's trade wars, it is all kinds of things related to U.S. specific costs. But I think what manufacturers have come to realize is that they have to consider more than, you know, the factory price. They have to look at the total cost, which is what matters. And that includes expenses such as shipping, and again, the tariffs, mm-hmm. currency rates, and then the consequences of just lost sales if you don't have product to sell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and obviously, it's all about jobs and recruitment and retention and growing the state's economy. What were some of the trends that you saw in terms of job creation and even job loss in terms of manufacturing in the area?
Yeah, it's a real good question, Jeff. I think what we saw in terms of job creation was the jobs that are coming back now are much different than the ones that left maybe 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You're seeing jobs that are, you know, a higher skill level, more technology is involved. And there are going to be fewer of those jobs. You know, long-term trend, you cannot compete against low-cost labor with U.S. labor. It just doesn't pencil out. However, with technology, you can make up a lot of that difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the new jobs that are coming back, in many ways, they have a better career path than the older ones did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not that kind of machine shop type job. There's more technology. There's more training that's needed. And it's not only the big companies that need employees. It's some of the smaller entrepreneurs that are diving into the manufacturing world because they're producing products overseas, and now they see an opportunity to produce those products right here in the Midwest. So when we come back, I want to talk to you about kind of the varying differences in job creation in the manufacturing sector. We're talking to Rick Barrett from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This is The Upswing. We are presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing, talking manufacturing in the state of Wisconsin. But first, have you ever heard of the Sippy Hippie? Oh, come on. You got to love this place. The Sippy Hippie Espresso Bar in Slinger. We love our coffee here at The Upswing. I'll tell you more about this later in the show. But tomorrow from 4 to 6 at the Mayfair Collection, the one-year anniversary of Horicon Bank's location there, the Sippy Hippie from Slinger is coming to Wauwatosa, a big Oktoberfest celebration. Local musicians, specialty-themed coffees, caramel apples, face painting for kids. Learn all about it. Slinger to Wauwatosa. We're all about bringing the state together through the Upswing. Be there 4 to 6 tomorrow at the Mayfair Collection at Horicon Bank. So, Rick, it's kind of as you – this is directly from your story. I want to read this post. It's difficult to overstate the importance of the phenomenon to Wisconsin, where manufacturing and agriculture, especially food processing, are critical drivers of the economy. The state is second only to Indiana in the highest concentration of manufacturing employment, around 480,000 jobs, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Through your series and through your reporting, you looked at the role of new technologies in reshaping the manufacturing landscape. We often think it's the larger corporate manufacturers, but there are a lot of smaller businesses that make things in Milwaukee that are finding success, and actually not only in Milwaukee, but around the state, right?
Yeah, Jeff, that's a really good point. I mean, the majority of manufacturing companies in the U.S., in Wisconsin as well, are quite small. I mean, three-quarters of these companies, have probably fewer than 50 employees. In fact, most of them have fewer than 100 employees.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is with a lot of the smaller firms, they are turning to technology. I mean, it's not just the large, manufacturers we all think of, like General Motors and such. The smaller companies are really tech savvy these days.
Yeah, and you had a story about a woman, Danica Lass, who knits hats by hand, and one of them by mistake had a hole, and she had to find kind of a new place, not overseas, to manufacture her hats, Peekaboo's ponytail hats. What can you tell us about that? Because I think it's often those entrepreneurial stories that, hey, we have a product that we want to make and we need a manufacturer, but we want to do it locally so we can have kind of hands-on experience with the manufacturer.
Yeah, Jeff, she was a great example of someone who just cared so much about her product and the quality of it and was not satisfied with what she was getting back from outside of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And she just decided, look, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to set up manufacturing here in the Milwaukee area. And with the benefit of technology and an awful lot of hard work that she put into it, she was able to find a solution where she could manufacture, her products right here.
Mm-hmm.
And the quality difference was what she was looking for. And just the fact that it's just so much easier to deal with, you know, the whole supply chain.
Yeah.
If you have it based in the U.S.
Yeah, you have so much more control over your product that way, for sure. And in our next segment after the break, I want to talk about kind of all the overseas roles and the role of Mexico and other countries in manufacturing right here in Wisconsin. But let's talk a little bit, Rick, about the kind of the skills gap in training programs in manufacturing. Is it all on the shoulders of technical colleges in terms of just the promotion of what's the opportunity for jobs in the manufacturing sector?
Yeah, Jeff, I think the tech colleges have a really significant role to play in this,
mm-hmm.
but they can't do it on their own.
Yeah.
I think it has to start much younger. We have to get, you know, kids interested in these careers when they're in middle school or by high school, because by the time they get to, they're ready for college, or they're going to go off to the military or pursue a career out of high school, it's almost too late.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't got them interested by then. I mean, it's never too late.
Right.
But an awful lot of the interest could be kindled earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. Dale Coinga from the MMAC is going to join us later in the show to talk about some of the efforts that are marrying business and education to do just that, to highlight and package and promote all the opportunities at a much younger level. Because as you said, Rick, it's truly important to get to kids early on in the educational process. All right. Milwaukee PBS this week, collaborating with Rick Barrett and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on the Future of Manufacturing Town Hall. It's Thursday at MATC from 4:30 to 5:30 at the college's Cooley Auditorium. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, bringing it home, a new Journal Sentinel series on manufacturing's return to America and specifically to Wisconsin. So Rick Barrett joins us. Rick, how much does kind of the Buy American rally play into the return of manufacturing to America?
Jeff, I think it certainly helps. I mean, if people pay attention to where their products are coming from and they show that interest in their purchases, it sends the message to companies that it matters.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still not the driving factor for manufacturing to come back to the U.S., but I think it's not something that should be overlooked either.
Yeah. I mean, in the last part of the series, you took a look at kind of the overseas environments of manufacturing. What's Mexico's role right now in the U.S. market compared to kind of the traditional offshore locations like China and Southeast Asia?
I think the way to describe it is that Mexico is probably very well positioned to get work coming back from Asia, even more so than the U.S., because its labor costs are so low. And also logistically, it's so well positioned right next door to the U.S. marketplace. There are a lot of reasons for it. And there's a tremendous amount of work that's coming back from China, especially not to the U.S., but mm-hmm. it's coming to Mexico.
Yeah. What about Puerto Rico? How's Puerto Rico positioning itself? It seems like they're heavy in the pharmaceutical manufacturing space.
Yeah, that's correct, Jeff. I mean, Puerto Rico is just laser focused on pharmaceuticals and advanced medicines, which has been its strength for many years, and it's trying to win back some of the business that it had lost overseas. In fact, it had lost a lot of it. But Puerto Rico is really well positioned in the sciences and advanced medicine.
Mm-hmm. What about in Central America, and particularly Honduras, that you speak of in your series? Have migration patterns to the United States impacted what's happening in manufacturing in Central America?
I think, you know, they're really trying hard to make a dent in the migration patterns, but it makes sense to do a lot of apparel and textiles manufacturing in Central America, because it's too expensive to do it in the U.S., and we don't have the labor force mm-hmm. for it here. So in many ways, Central America could be the best alternative to having, you know, textiles, clothing manufactured in Asia.
Yeah. Well, and finally, you know, we can't talk manufacturing without kind of taking a look at the role of policies, trade policies and tariffs that play in companies' decisions to reshore manufacturing. What impact will kind of the pending election have on manufacturing stateside?
I think tariffs will be the big question, Jeff. I mean, you know, tariffs are one of those things, it could really help your company or it could hurt you. And it could add to inflation, and yet it could create more jobs. So it's a matter of which side of the fence you're on, I think. And we're not going to know, you know, until after the election.
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure. Well, we appreciate your reporting and your good work and look forward to tomorrow night, or Thursday night's event at MATC. It's from 4:30 to 5:30 at the college's Cooley Auditorium. There's a job fair that begins at 3 p.m. beforehand. Rick Barrett from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, appreciate your time and enjoy the rest of the week.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you having me.
All right. When we come back, Dale Coyenga, president of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce, joins us. Amazing insights into more on the manufacturing side, but we're also going to talk to Dale about the economics of Brewers baseball and much, much more. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Appreciate Rick Barrett from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel joining us to go over his five-part series on the return of manufacturing to America and specifically to the great state of Wisconsin. I'll always appreciate Rick's insights. Manufacturing is at a watershed moment in American history, according to Harry Moser, president and founder of the Reshoring Initiative, a nonprofit that promotes U.S. manufacturing. Dale Coyenga, president of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce, joins us. Dale, thanks for taking time out of your morning. Appreciate it.
Thanks for covering this topic.
Of course. It's so important. I always kind of use the analogy that sometimes I think we think of manufacturing jobs as kind of set in like the shop, right? That they're the old school.
Yeah, the three Ds, the dark, dirty, and dangerous.
Exactly. And it's just not the case anymore. These jobs are technology focused. You have to know what you're doing. But at the same time, they're true entrepreneurial jobs. And MMAC is doing a lot to bring together manufacturers and companies and educators to look at really the long-term economic and cultural impacts of manufacturing. Talk to us a little bit about how you're working with companies and educators to kind of re-skill set and better package and promote opportunities for the next workforce of America.
Yeah, it's multifaceted, so I'll be concise and clear here. But you know, we need to break down the stovepipes between our industry and K-12. And for too long, there was this, in a lot of our high schools, is that success look like going to college and getting a liberal arts degree. And that is success for a lot of people. But what they were not seeing is really what put Milwaukee on the map in a global economy, and that's our manufacturing. And so just some examples of the things that we're doing is we have a manufacturing automation grant that we have implemented this year in four different schools. Hmm. We are in Bradley Tech, Obama High School, those are two MPS schools, and then Aug Prep and Milwaukee Academy of Sciences. And we have purchased the machinery. We are working with an outfit called Lab Midwest out of Mequon that does national work on this with a curriculum. And we're bringing this automation robotics economy into the high school. And it implements math. And it's kind of like the whole woodworking shop you had in high school.
Right, yeah.
It's that on steroids. So we're doing a lot of that, and then we are always in touch with our tech colleges. We have a great board member that's also a member of MMAC per statute. They have to have a business person on there. Mm-hmm. That was something that changed about a decade ago. We lobbied for that, and that has paid some good dividends. Been very impressed with the new MATC president, his dedication in this dual enrollment space, which is very important.
Yeah.
And more we're seeing companies that are actually doing training on their own site. So they work in conjunction with the technical colleges or just on their own, because the global economy is getting more complex, and so it's not practical to bring every single sort of complexity of manufacturing into a tech college or high school. So the key is, we hear more about it, right time, right place, right uniform. We'll train them here.
Yeah.
And then working backwards with the tech colleges to get them credit for those trainings. Yeah.
Well, I think another thing that's probably not on everyone's radar is, you know, the manufacturing industry has a large share of employees over the age of 55, right? And simply, we have to find replacements for those workers because people are going to start to retire. People are going to start to sell businesses, and we need to fill that pipeline.
Well, it's a key. If a business owner in the manufacturing space cannot find the workforce to maintain their operations or grow their operations in Wisconsin, they will move that operation either slowly through contracting or slowly through subsidiaries or in whole by moving the whole operation to a state that does provide that workforce.
Yeah.
And workforce is just as important, if not more important, than tax policy and environmental policy. You need to have a workforce.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the workforce we do have. When we talk to companies that have operations, I mean, I'll just mention one company, not by name, but they have operations in Texas, in the Houston area, and they have operations in Brookfield. And what they have said is, our talent here is so much better. They are better at reading a ruler.
Hmm.
They're more likely to stay on time. They're more likely to stay with a job. And even though we need to pay them more here, it's worth that additional premium because the workforce here is good. And it's just that old European German tradition of the tech colleges, and you know, I know things like work ethic, the next generation can be better. That's always been the criticism of generations for the history of America. But generally speaking, our young people in this part of the country is what from we hear better equipped and better than their counterparts in other parts of the country. So, but we need more of them because of workforce issues demographically. We need to do better.
Dale Coyne from the MAC joins us. His op-ed, the Journal Sentinel, just recently, manufacturing is Wisconsin's fastball. Opportunities abound for economic growth. When we come back, how important is the manufacturing and agriculture's activity credit to the future of manufacturing Wisconsin? This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, where manufacturing runs. That's what we want to do for the next 3 days for our Milwaukee Brewers. But to drive economic opportunity in the region, we want to manufacture jobs as well. Dale Coyne from the MAC walked over a couple steps from his office to spend some time with us today. So, Dale, I want to look at the data just a little bit in terms of pay ranges for manufacturing jobs in the region. I think there's sometimes maybe a little bit of a disconnect here, but the opportunity to make a really good salary in manufacturing is real.
Yeah, for context, the average salary in Wisconsin is about a little bit over $50,000. For manufacturing, it's $75,000. And nationwide, you're talking about 20% more than the service sector. So all jobs don't pay equally, and there is more and more growth in the service sector. But those manufacturing jobs pay more. And this is why when you look at Milwaukee's per capita income, we're in the top 10 in the country. And we don't want to be number one or two. That's San Francisco, San Jose.
That's right.
They're not one or two because they're high cost of living.
That's right.
So we are in a really nice sweet spot as an area. And the reason we're in a sweet spot of per capita income being higher than the average metro, but also being a place where the cost of living is not outrageous and generally lower than other metros in the northern part of the country, is because we have such a high reliance on manufacturing jobs. Wisconsin has the number one per capita of manufacturing jobs in the country.
Yeah. And obviously you also want a good tax policy to be really important for the manufacturers. How important is the manufacturing and agriculture's activity credit to your member companies?
You're asking a CPA over here to geek out on tax policy, but
look out, clear schedule.
Yes. Let me just say that Wisconsin's income tax policy is not very competitive. Let me start with that. We have the 11th or 12th highest income taxes in the country. And so when you're looking at being competitive, which a lot of these manufacturing companies are not large manufacturing companies, the strength of the Wisconsin manufacturing sector are a lot of these mid-tier companies.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're LLCs or S-corps, and so they pass off the individual income tax rates. And for those companies, it's 7.65%. Once again, I'm close to the top 10 in the nation. Yeah. So what the manufacturing activities credit does is it's a very simple policy that says this. If you make something or grow something in Wisconsin, it's essentially tax-free. And I won't go into details from there because you'll lose But essentially, the credit says if you grow it or you make it in Wisconsin, it's essentially tax-free. And that has kept us a lot more competitive. So essentially, we are getting manufacturers up, especially from Illinois, on a monthly basis, because our tax policy is competitive with Texas and Florida and Nevada and other states that don't have income taxes because of that manufacturing activities credit. And it has been threatened. It's been on the table the last two budgets to be eliminated. And, you know, we fought to reverse that elimination and we're successful in that, but we're always watching that policy and make sure that is retained.
All right. How important is a deep Brewers playoff run to the region?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, because the, I mean, I love UW, but that's really not, you know, giving us high fives. And then, you know, the Packers, they should have won that last game.
Yeah.
I mean, the field goal kicking, it was just.
That's all right.
But you know, I feel like the Brewers got it. I feel like it has the momentum to really make this special. And I think the chemistry on the team is there. I agree with you, Jeff. I think the city's psyched up, but I think everyone needs to just turn up the volume and, like, let's get the Brew Crew there.
Yeah.
And let's win some
games. And I think what we feel in baseball is that baseball tends to like the young teams and the entrepreneurials and the startups, and that's what we have with our Brewers. Dale Coinga from the MMAC joins us. I appreciate your insights and your commitment to the region. Go Brewers.
Go
Brewers. Have a great day.
Brew October is sponsored by Delta Dental.
These are your business headlines from the Milwaukee Business Journal.
Which country clubs in the Milwaukee area are on the upswing? Business Journal analysis finds North Shore in Mequon ranks as largest by assets. They're followed by Bigfoot in Walworth County and Blue Mound in Wauwatosa. Discount retailer Big Lots is in bankruptcy, but some Southeast Wisconsin stores survive. Ollie's Bargain Outlet of Ohio buys leases for stores in West Bend, Mount Pleasant, Sheboygan, and Fond du Lac. Pottawatomie Hotel Casino is Metro Milwaukee's largest special attraction with nearly 5 million attendees in 2023. The Brewers rank second. Wisconsin State Fair Park jumps to fourth on the list with 2 million. I'm Rich Kirchen with MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com on News Radio WTMJ.